right, everybody, welcome to, I guess, another resurrection of Real Fake Baseball. We've had a few of these already. We're probably running out of our nine lives, but at this point, we're still going strong. This is your host, Paul Martin, at Paul the Martin on Twitter if you want to find me, and I'm here, as always, with Walter McMichael. He's still around. How's it going, Walter? How you doing tonight?
What do you mean? I've been around. I was on a podcast last week, got a little bit of heat for it, but you know how that is. You, on the other hand, I don't know. People just think you went missing.
Yeah, I know. That's what happens when you delete one of your social medias. But it was just Facebook, so it's not like it matters anyway. I'm still out on Twitter. Everybody knows that. They know where they can find me. But seriously, I see you on the camera right now, and no one else can, but you kind of look like you got like a Eastern European, you've been trekking through the Yukon territory for a little while sort of look going on.
Well, the thing is that my fiance wants me to get a new haircut than my normal buzz cut that I've gotten since I was in high school. So I kind of had to grow out some hair to have something to work with.
Okay. Yeah, you kind of look like when the Beatles were just starting to dabble with acid. Like you're transitioning into the full sitar phase, but you're not fully there yet. You're almost there.
Yeah, I'm not fully mountain man status, but it's getting – I mean, my beard is getting a little thicker, and then my hair is just like – it looks terrible.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest. I look bad.
Well, I'm not going to comment or speculate on anything like that. But we will comment or speculate on transitions. What we're going to comment and speculate on is some baseball news. And the GM meetings were going on the past couple weeks. And Baltimore still doesn't have a GM. And as our resident Baltimore Orioles fan, I just want to get your thoughts on that, Walter. It seems like a pretty bold strategy, don't you think?
Oh yeah, it's a terrible strategy. I have no clue what they're doing. But I mean, granted, I will say I don't think they have any clue what they're doing either. So
no, definitely.
There's always that. But yeah, the list I've seen is actually pretty encouraging. I know a couple of the people they had on there is like Ben Sherrington and then Kim Ng and then the guy from the Astros. Like they're. I think it's their
the blackjack dealer slash black market sort of guy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like that guy. That sounds like a good guy for the Orioles. I mean, the list. If you look at it, it's a pretty good list on what they're looking at. So hopefully they can get one of them and not just some terrible GM.
Not like make a terrible decision. Like I don't know, like the Mets.
Yeah. There we go. There's your transition. Yeah, getting a. I know you tried to bring this up to me with like the agent. There is precedent in other sports. I've kind of, you know, I have two kids, so you kind of lose track of things. And NBA, other than like the NBA playoffs, I kind of lost track of a lot of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's happened in the NBA a few times now, more than a few times, and I think the most notable ones lately have been Rob Pelinka and Bob Myers, because Bob Myers is the GM of the Warriors, and he's won, you know, front office person of the year. He's won championships with them, so obviously that's a pretty good situation. And then the Lakers just signed LeBron James, so you know, it kind of makes sense, but I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess. It can't really be too much worse than what happened. But then again, like, for Mets fans' sake, I don't know if I want to say that and jinx them. Because it probably could get worse. And, the Orioles won how many games last year? So it can definitely get worse for the Mets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all speculation right now. We'll see what he does during the offseason. He didn't make any moves just yet. But as far as the winter goes, it's still early. And I guess the Giants are looking to offer something to Farham Zaidi from the Dodgers. So that's pretty interesting. I guess they're kind of working on their situation as well. So Baltimore is not the only one that has questions in the front office at the GM meetings.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad teams that have questions in the front office. So
yeah, there's a lot of bad teams
out there. It's not a surprise that the bad teams are looking for new GMs.
Yeah, Zaidi's a pretty interesting name, though, because he was with the Dodgers during their like overhaul, and then Magic Johnson came in and kind of like made things his a little bit more and kind of faded some of the older people out. But at this point, he seems like he would be a good hire. I'm not sure if he's linked to Baltimore at all, but you said they have some good names. So
yeah, not at all. Not anything that I read, but yeah, I mean, he was one of the... He studied under your boy Billy Bean, right?
Didn't yeah, he was. Like, that was
you,
like.
Don't you dislike Billy Bean?
I don't dislike. I don't have really.
No. Like his, you hate the love that he gets.
Do I? I don't know. Have I said that?
I thought you were. Maybe you're not.
If
the
it's
one,
not on record, Walter, you can't. You can't. Just I mean, you get, go you ahead, get, go around you get mad slinging at, slander like that.
You get mad at everything else nowadays. So I figured it was that.
Nah, Billy Bean doesn't really upset me. No, not too much. Sorry, Walter.
Oh,
I wish I could give you something emotional.
It was Ray Searage.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was it.
Ray Searage is a little bit too much for me. I started to like Ray Searage because he was talking about. Never mind. That's just we're getting too into it. People could go find the recordings.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
yeah. He was with the A's and then he got brought over to the Dodgers. So it's like he's always been on a pretty like on forward thinking clubs.
Yeah. That was the reason he got he said he got into baseball because he read Moneyball.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of guy he is. I think he was like he went to an Ivy League school for like business analytics or something crazy like that. So that's the kind of person the Giants are looking to hire apparently. If it's not him, it'll probably be someone of that caliber. But let's move on.
He did get hired. He got hired as their.
Oh, he got hired by the Giants.
President of baseball operations.
Okay, so. See, these are notes from like the past few weeks. So I'm just trying to. I haven't caught up on everything. So that's good. I mean, that's a good hire for the Giants. Then we'll see what. I mean, that could be a potentially really exciting winter for them. Maybe not one that they're looking forward to because he's probably going to overhaul that entire team. They have a high payroll right now and they are bad. So, I mean, there's not too many guys out there that I would rather have in a situation like that. I think he's going to be able to cut payroll pretty well for them. I don't know. What do you think? Do you have anything to speculate or you want to get on to the actual player moves?
I would say based on that, I don't believe that Bryce Harper rumors
going to the Giants.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like something with his background, like someone with his background would do. It
right.
Seem like it to me. So
that would be a pretty crazy move. I don't know how the Giants would pull that off, but if they were able to, that would be insane. That would make for an insane year. But you know what else makes for an insane year? Malik Smith moving to the Mariners for Mike Zunino and a little bit of change. Guillermo Heredia is going to the Rays as well. Michael Plassmeyer, who's a left-hander. And then Jake Fraley, an outfielder, is going from the Rays to the Mariners. What do you think about this trade, Walter, for fantasy and for real life? Because it is kind of different when you look at it in those two lenses.
Yeah, I think for fantasy, it's really good for Malik Smith just because, I mean, there's a ton of playing time available. And with the Rays, it was a pretty loaded outfield, and he was not going to play every single day because of it. And with the Mariners, it's just opportunity just leads to fantasy success. So it's great for him. Zunino, I mean, he's just... Can we give up on Mike Zunino finally?
No,
in
we can't,
God,
Walter,
so
because he's
going to
get another 400 plate appearances this year, and he's going to hit another 20 home runs. And
yeah, he's going to hit 180.
Right. But you know what? Like I said, when you look at it through the lens of real baseball, he's going to have a terrible average, but he's a good catcher. He's a good pitch framer. And I mean, he's a decent guy to add to your everyday team. And then Heredia is a great backup. He plays a really fine center field. I think his fielding percentage was 1,000 last year. I don't think he had an
fielding percentage.
Yeah, I don't think
you're
he had
forward thinking here.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think he had any errors or anything last year, and he played a pretty significant chunk of the season for them in center field, which is kind of odd to say, but he actually did get a pretty good amount of playing time. But I mean, he's only there to back up Kevin Kiermaier, so when Kiermaier goes down, their defense doesn't just fall down into a bottomless pit, which is usually what happens. But yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I said, yeah.
Oh, okay. That was it. Okay. You were done.
Yep.
Cool.
No, I like it. In a real life sense, it makes sense because Malik Smith is a pretty
bad
just like,
defender. Average.
Well, no, I was just going to say he's just like an expendable asset for the Rays because they have plenty of outfielders. And,
right.
And then Zunino is an upgraded catcher for them. Even if he's a horrendous hitter, he's a good defender. So it's a good all-around trade, I think.
And I haven't looked into the pitcher too much, Plassmeyer, but I'm sure they're, you know, he's a lefty. The Rays do kind of crazy things with these pitchers, and they've been calling up guys to fill their bullpen, guys that I've never heard of lately that are pitching 100 and doing all sorts of crazy things. So it wouldn't shock me if this dude just comes out of nowhere and is in their bullpen next year and he's pitching. But yeah, there's some other.
I kind of like Fraley. I like Jake Fraley as like a deep prospect.
Yeah,
I kind of like him. He's got some speed. He hits a little bit of power. He gets on base. Doesn't really strike out. I kind of like it. He's older for his level, but.
Well, you're in that 30 team Friends with Fantasy Benefits league. Is that's a deep league? Is that something that is that somewhere you would be looking at Jake Fraley?
Well, yeah, there's gonna be 600 prospects owned.
Yeah,
so
that's
at
insane.
At least, so yeah, he's definitely gonna be owned. We're gonna own like every single MLB player and like every prospect. So.
Okay, so Plassmeyer was drafted last year in the fourth round, and he had 44 strikeouts in his first 24 innings at low A. So that's interesting. I mean, the Rays definitely did not – they targeted him for sure. So that's an interesting pitcher to add to their arsenal. We have a couple other small moves too. I don't know if these are interesting for fantasy, but you brought up Trevor Rosenthal before for Dynasty Leagues, and he's now signing with the Nationals. And outside of Sean Doolittle, who they might trade if they're doing nothing this season, Trevor Rosenthal might be the only guy in their bullpen worth anything. And then Jung Ho Kang, he's back, apparently. That's pretty interesting. People are going to be looking at these guys in deep leagues. What do you think, Walter? Especially in like a 30-team league like that. I can't even say it. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. We don't need to talk about 30-team leagues because only lunatics are playing in 30-team leagues.
Shout out Barry Baker.
Yeah, Barry Baker. He just like he. That's probably too shallow for him.
Yeah, it is.
If we're being honest.
Well, but his 30-team league, I was in it before, and it's unlimited prospects.
Yeah, that just doesn't even make any sense. But yeah, Trevor Rosenthal. I mean, he was a dominant closer when he got hurt last year. So I just liked him because he was free, and I was hoping he could latch on and get a closer role. I kind of don't like it too much because he's in Washington and Doolittle is
nasty.
Yeah, he's better than Trevor Rosenthal. So
obviously.
It's like Doolittle gets hurt frequently. So
yeah, exactly.
So,
that's what I'm saying. So, plus, they could easily be looking to trade Doolittle this year or Rosenthal for that matter if he ends up pitching good because I don't really think if they lose Harper – I mean, I guess they still will have Soto and Robles. It's kind of crazy.
And Eaton. Yeah. So their outfield will still be good. Yeah, I think that Rosenthal is left for like a late round like potential if Doolittle gets hurt, but most likely you'll end up dropping him. Jung Ho Kang, I do like he has. I mean, last time we saw him in the majors, he was a good MLB hitter, and nothing has changed.
Well,
right? I mean, he got a little bit older, but if you
he's
can get
a mess.
Him late and
he's a mess of a human, though. Like, it's like, you know, maybe he's degenerated to the point where he can no longer play baseball at a professional level. That wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I don't know. They have pretty strict DUI laws over there. I'm not saying that, like, he should have done what he did, but I don't know. Strictly talking about him playing baseball, I mean, Steamer projects him to hit .267 and 10 home runs in 265 plate appearances. So if he could get 500, that's 20 home runs and a .270 hitter with a .340 OBP. I mean, I would take that in the late rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I've drafted him so many times all over the place, and he's disappointed me. But I still can't ignore the fact that I will be looking at him in really late rounds or just in deeper leagues trying to pick up something off the wire during the league if that's possible. Because I don't think he's going to get drafted in every single league. He's still going to be platooned and who knows how much to start the season. So it's going to be interesting to see him playing again, though, for sure. He can mash the baseball, too. Like, he hits some huge taters, for sure. Like, no doubters, and they're fun to watch. So hopefully he's back at his peak and we can watch that again. Yankees sign a couple players, CC Sabathia, Brett Gardner. The Dodgers also sign a couple players. They extend Clayton Kershaw. I think everyone heard of that by now. And then Hyunjin Ryu, he accepted his qualifying offer today, so they'll be back with the team next year. What do you think this means for the Dodgers? You think they go out and sell some of their pitching and maybe reload a little bit? Like, they have so many players. I look at their roster and it's just insane to me.
This is what the Dodgers are going to do. They're going to do what they did this year and the year before. They're just going to run all of these pitchers out there for like 150, 160 innings so that they're all ready for the playoffs.
Right. That's smart.
Dude, that's why I don't understand. I have to say this. I don't understand the Walker Buehler hype train already. He's not going to throw 180 innings. I'm sorry. He's going to do what the Dodgers do. They're going to put him on the DL during the middle of the season. He's going to sit out for 2 weeks. And a little bit later, he's going to sit out for another 2 weeks. It's like that's just what they do. They've done it to Kershaw. And it's like everybody talks about his back. And it's like if it wasn't the Dodgers who have like 8 to 9 MLB quality starters that they can just plug in.
They have so many.
They would be rolling him out there every time out. But that's just how it works. The Dodgers are like, well, now Ryu's coming back after he was out for 2 months. So let's just DL someone and he'll take their spot and we'll reduce their time. And it's just what they do. They have Ross Stripling. I mean, it's just like the list goes on and on.
Optionality. They have all sorts of options that they can throw in there.
It's like Alex Wood is like, what, their eighth starter?
They have Kenta Maeda. They have Rich Hill.
Alex Wood could be like a number three on a good team.
They're going to have Julio Urias next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they have 10 quality starters, five of them are lefties.
And the thing is, they're not going to trade them. People keep saying they're going to trade them, but no, you want this depth. This is what you want. You want 8 MLB quality starters because instead of having to bring up some slop quad A guy to pitch when your ace gets hurt like the Nationals have had to do when they're bringing up scrubs because Strasburg is hurt. No, they're plugging in a quality MLB number 3 starter. And then you know what they do? Once it comes playoff time, just throw them all in the pen.
Right. It's basically like the opposite of what the Rays are doing with the same effect. You know what I mean? Like they throw out these guys for like 80, 90 to 110 innings every single year. They did it for 1 year so far. But, I mean, they don't have to really worry about guys having the most talent when they come up. They just have to throw their hardest breaking ball and their hardest fastball, and they make it work. You know, so it's kind of like the opposite. They don't really have to worry about calling up a quad A guy on the Dodgers just because they have so many of these options already available. And then whatever they need, they'll just supplement. It's insane what the Dodgers have done. And then the Yankees, those are just solid bench moves. I mean, CC's probably going to throw another 25 to 28 starts. And I don't see him being bad. Like, he can't really lose too much more velocity. There's not really much like people can only track his pitches more. That's the only thing that's really going to happen with him. And then Brett Gardner is going to lose a lot of playing time next year. I don't think he's really going to be fantasy relevant at all. But CC, I always like because no one ever wants to draft him.
Can they just stop with Brett Gardner?
Yeah, he's only on the team because he's terrible. That clubhouse guy now. And like, I hate that. But at the same time, whatever. It's Brett Gardner. He's been on the team for so long. We'll give him a paycheck for one more year, and then he's going to be gone. But CC, I actually really like, and I think people are going to ignore him again for fantasy, and he's going to be the last pitcher that you take on your roster, and he's probably going to be on your roster almost all year.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you can't even disagree, no matter how much you want to. You know that's it's happened the past, what, 3 years now?
I think this year and last year.
Yeah, okay, 2 years, but they were very solid years. And both times, no one wanted him.
Yeah, I still don't want him.
And yet, still, he's going to be a good fantasy pitcher next year.
Well, we will see. We will see. I don't know. The Yankees are like... That rotation is kind of like a patchwork. That's the whole thing. It's like the Dodgers don't sell all their pitching because there's not enough pitching to go around.
Right. Yeah, that's just what the Yankees need to be focused on, is just getting as many pitchers as possible.
I don't think people realize like how frequently you have to use like your eighth and ninth starters during the season.
Yeah.
And if you're using Alex Wood in that spot instead of, I don't know, who are the guys the Yankees were rolling out this year that were just getting blasted?
My boy
Domingo Herman.
Yeah, man. There was some pretty bad. Who's the guy they love to put? Oh, Luis Sessa. That's the dude they love to put. They love putting him in there. Like, they get jazzed up. They're like, is Luis Sessa going to be the next? No, he's never going to be the next anything except for out of the league. That's going to be the only thing that Luis Sessa is going to be doing pretty soon.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know.
This just makes me angry. Like, they're the New York Yankees. They should not be throwing someone like Luis Sessa on the mound. I'm not even trying to have a Mike Francesa moment. It's just really? Like, this is
speaking
what we're doing
here? Speaking of Mike
here.
Francesa, did you see his thing from today?
No.
He had a caller call in, and they're like, what do you think of Stan Lee passing? And he said, who?
Stanley who?
No, he said, who? Oh. And they were like, who is it?
Oh.
And they were like, the creator of Marvel Comics? And he was like, oh, who cares?
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I mean, Frances is a joke. But anyway, back to baseball. Wait, were we done? We were pretty much done, huh?
No. We have the draft.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was like, were we done with what we were doing? Should we transition into the draft now?
The draft is amazing. I love the draft. Always go to the draft.
Can you specify what draft we're talking about so people like are not in the dark?
Yeah. So we have been doing the Friends with Fantasy Benefits 30-team Dynasty. You are not in the league.
I'm not, no. No, because 30, come on, man, 30 teams is too much for me.
Yeah, you're bad at this, so you wouldn't want to do it.
No, I would not. I come in 7th in normal leagues. What is that in 30 teams? I would be a constant 16th every single year. I would be in 16th. That would be awful.
Yeah, 16th. So I'll probably come in like...
You'll be in 7th.
Seventh every year.
Because you usually come in like fourth.
Yeah, third and fourth.
Fourth is your spot.
My spot. No. We
came in third
in the Ditka Dynasty.
Yeah, because I bought Miguel Andujar for $4. If I didn't do that, we would have came in fourth, just like always, and we would have been out of the money. That's your life. You come in third in one league, and you don't even it's because of me, but you don't.
It wasn't me going crazy having to stream the last two months.
No, the independent variable in that league was me, and we won money.
Well, let's just say, all right. So it's a 30-team dynasty league. OBP instead of average, wins plus quality starts instead of wins, and then save times two plus holds. Instead of saves.
I like that. So, I don't like the wins plus quality starts, but whatever. It's fine.
Let's hear it. Why don't you like it?
Because it's just like neither stat is good, so just pick one and let's move on. We don't have to put both of them together and like they're both awful.
Oh, yeah.
We could sit here and argue all day stats. Which one's better than the other one, but they're both awful, and let's just pick one. Let's just pick wins and just get the hell out of here.
But I can tell you this, it just makes it to where people can't get upset about it.
I guess. I guess with 30 people, that's probably the best way to go about it.
It's just a nice in the middle. Look, you like quality starts, you like wins, but we have both of them.
We have there chocolate and vanilla here. Have some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
Neapolitan right here.
Yeah. And look at all these toppings, bitch.
Exactly. So we had the KDS, and I drew the 21st pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So not
that's so what many people. Running. You're 21st, and there's still 9 people behind you. Is that how math works? That's crazy.
It's brutal.
Wow.
It's a brutal league. Yeah. So it's like you pick a guy, you better make sure that's who you want, because the guy that you were thinking about is not getting back to you.
Your team, though, through the first 3 rounds, looks like I would think that all of those guys should have gone within your first 2 picks. Like, I would think that you should have been taking, like, Royce Lewis with your second pick, but you were able to get Otani with your second pick, and then you got Royce Lewis with your 3rd pick, and then you came back with your 4th pick and got Bo Bichette. That's pretty filthy. I really do like that.
Yeah, I have a good team, man. Yeah, this is how I do it. I draft good teams.
I mean, that's pretty good. Just because Royce Lewis is one of the highest valued prospects, regardless if he works out at this point. Like, I mean, he went. Let's see. So Tatis went.
You're trying to do math right now?
No, I'm just trying to figure out which by round.
Yeah, he went behind Tatis. He went behind Wander Franco.
And then Royce
Which is
Lewis.
Fair.
That's fair.
I would have taken Wander Franco over Royce too. That dude is a monster. But yeah, I started with Eloy. You didn't say first pick.
I like
pick.
Eloy. Yeah.
Eloy, I think, is just going to be a hitting machine. And then I forgot to mention daily lineups.
That's another reason I couldn't do it. Possible way.
Daily lineups isn't that hard. It's when it's daily fab that's horrendous.
And shout out
Ditka Dynasty. Oh my god. Yeah, I'm sorry guys. Daily fab is horrendous.
Yeah, can we get off the crack next year, please? Thanks. You need crack for that. Like you need it.
I go to sleep one night at 11 o'clock, a closer gets hurt at 1 AM and someone already picked him up on the fab run because they stayed up late.
Because they did crack that night. Whoever did crack that night gets closer. That's how it works.
Yeah. It's crazy. But it's weekly fab in this league and daily lineups. So I like that setup. And Otani, I'll be able to move him between util and pitcher when he's fully healthy. This year he's just going to be util, obviously. He's got Tommy John. But, I mean, have you taken a look at the steamer projections? I don't know how much you've looked at them.
No. I'm not a steamer projection. I'll look at the steamer projections before the drafts.
Yeah, well, I mean, I looked at them before this draft. And
technically, I guess you are drafting. Yeah, that makes sense then. Yeah, I probably would have as well, but I just didn't.
Yeah, so by WRC Plus, we have Otani as the 12th best hitter in baseball, steamer 600, 31 home runs, and 12 stolen bases with a 353 OBP.
Nice.
That's his projection as a hitter. And then when you put a starting pitcher on top of that, he's just going to be, like, honestly, at this time next year, he's going to be a top 10 pick in a format like this.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically Matt Olson if you add the capability of getting 10 strikeouts per 9 innings and
stealing bases.
Yeah, exactly. So that's crazy. It really is. Well, yeah, he looks like his swing looks a lot like Matt Olson out there. Like it's kind of crazy.
So then after that, I went with my favorite player, Byron Buxton.
Yeah, I was going to say that's kind of, I mean, it's good value. Obviously everyone's going to say that, but he's still trash.
No, I'm with you, but I'm buying him just because it's like there were some pretty sharp people on Byron Buxton last year and it didn't work out, but the skills and the upside are still there. Like he didn't just become like, it's not like he broke his leg last year and lost all his speed or something. He's still the same player, and I still think he has the same upside that people saw last year, but now people know what the downside is, and I'm willing to take the risk, because in a 30 team league, if he pans out, like, that's massive.
Yeah, I mean, my only issue is it's only because they went back to back, but Alex Kirilloff went right behind him, and I love me some Alex Kirilloff. I might have taken him right there and then gotten what I could in the sixth round.
Yeah, I like Kirilloff, but I mean, he doesn't have a. I like him a lot, but for fantasy, he's not going to run, and he doesn't have crazy power, and I don't know. I like Kirilloff a lot,
yeah.
But I wouldn't take him over Buxton right now, just because the fantasy upside is not even close to the same.
Well, obviously not, but I just think that the realization of that upside is, like, easier to see with Kirilloff. Buxton's just a failure at this point. Utter failure.
Yeah, I don't know about utter failure, but yeah, he's...
No, I do. It's pretty close.
This is a good time to buy someone who was the former number one overall prospect, though.
Right. Yeah, I get it. I get that it's a good time to buy. And you got him when, overall?
So what, we're in the fifth round.
You got 141 overall in a dynasty. That's not bad. That's pretty good value. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, 141. Yep. So I went Buxton, and then I went
Malik Smith went above Buxton, so I kind of like that. I kind of like that you got Buxton there.
Thank you.
I'll give you that.
So my next pick was Garrett Hampson, who I don't know what it is about him, but it seems like people aren't really paying attention to him, but he kind of is like DJ LeMahieu-esque if he ran.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't that seem kind of right?
I don't think he's as sickening as DJ LeMahieu when it comes to contact, but he is a good hitter, and he's going to be hitting in cores, so that always is going to affect it. Hampson's... really, really accurate runner. Like, he's not the fastest out there, but he knows how to get a good jump and he knows how to steal a base, so that's going to help him in the league. And he just knows how to put the bat on the ball, and he hits it pretty hard. So,
or how about this? He could be like Witt, right?
Yeah. That's a much, much better comparison, because DJ LeMahieu is like so astronomically out there with his contact ability that like it's hard to compare.
I kind of just meant like,
because he's on the Rockies, it's easy to compare.
Yeah, like the fantasy profile where they could just have like a crazy bat, because he could have a crazy batting average in cores. And the OBP would follow. He runs. He's a good base runner. And steals a lot of bases. So,
and the Rockies do run. The Rockies are a running team.
Yeah, I think he went too low here, personally. Like, I was really surprised he's still on the board.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's Johan hit everywhere. He's only been in the league for 2 years. Like, he's 24 years old, but he was just drafted late, and he's done nothing but hit. He's hit over 300 everywhere he's been. He's, you know, the power's there. Last year he had double digits. The year before he had 8, but he had 51 stolen bases in 2017, so that's pretty crazy. I really like that pick. Do you want to just talk about your team? You see any other picks that you liked out there? Like, was there anything? I thought Matt Thompson got a little cute with the first pick. I guess did you talk about that on your other podcast too? Or
yeah, I told him there's one pick that had to be made, and that was Mike Trout at one.
Yeah. The only reason you don't take Mike Trout at number one is if you have a gun to your head and someone's telling you to take someone else. That's the only reason Mike Trout doesn't go number one. I'm sorry. But other than that, like, my top four would probably be Trout, Betts, Jose Ramirez, and Acuna.
Yeah, I don't know. I have such a hard time ranking the top couple, just because I don't know. I think Acuna is a monster. I think Vlad and Soto are going to be insane too.
Right. Like, how do you pick one over the other with those three?
Yeah, and it's like, I like Jose Ramirez, and he had a great year last year, but I'm not sure what to do with him.
Yeah, you're not buying
Hold on.
I know you love Jose Ramirez.
I will say this. I put my money where my mouth is with the Jose Ramirez Soto trade last year. So,
right,
you know, I love me some Soto, but I don't know. The top is really hard. I think you can make an argument for any of those guys at 2 through 7.
Yeah.
But number one is Trout.
Yeah.
the one person that has been making me mad is Smata. God damn, he took Fernando Tatis Jr. in the third. I was like, oh, please let him fall to me in the third. I just kept seeing him fall and fall. And
yeah, that's kind of savage how far he fell.
Yeah, he made me mad. Because, like, I don't know what was going on. Like, all these pitchers are going off. Like,
Smata's got a pretty good team.
Yeah, he's got a pretty solid team. I don't know what's up with this Keto Marte, but...
He's got Isaac Paredes, better known as the guy that got traded for Justin Wilson. Good move, no, Theo. Very, very sideways move there.
Oh, man, I didn't even realize all these, like, crappy pitchers he's been taking recently.
Justin Wilson's been traded for Chad Green and Isaac Paredes. That's pretty interesting.
Fun fact of the day.
Yeah, fun fact of the day. Who is Justin Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of really interesting picks, and that's going to happen because it's a 30-team
dynasty. Wow, Matt Boyd off the board. I'm just, like, looking through it all. There's just so many picks. Like,
I like Randy Haynes took Lewis Brinson in the 13th round. I like that there.
I did notice that one.
That's a nice – like I just talked about with Buxton, he did it even lower with Brinson. So I really, really like that pick, and that Brinson was a guy that I kind of wanted as well, but I skipped over him, hoping he would come back to me.
I notice here, like, a couple of the prospects that went last round, Helio Ramos, Marco Luciano, and then Ronnie Mauricio for the Mets, the Giants, and the Giants again. But those are three really good prospects to get in a 16th round. And then Ryan McKenna, your boy. Matt Thompson, that was a good pick. I do like Ryan McKenna, and he could be an interesting fantasy option.
Yeah, I actually took Marco Luciano.
But, oh, you took him, huh? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. He's filthy. I like the McKenna pick a lot, too. I think that's...
Oh, you got Pearson and Luciano. Ah, okay, Walter. I see you.
I've been trying to build that prospect base. Got Nolan Jones.
You got
Jones,
Kikuchi, Xavier. Too. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, I took UC Kikuchi.
Is it Kikuchi? That sounds more Asian.
I think it's Kikuchi.
Okay.
But, yeah, I took him... I don't know what he's going to be at all, but... I mean, I watched some of his starts, just like some of the breakdowns, and then
right.
kind of what he
scouting.
Did there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's nothing else I can do.
There's
with
nothing
him.
Better than YouTube scouting, other than, you know, going to the games and actually scouting. But other than that, YouTube scouting is the best way to go about it.
Yeah, you want me to fly to Japan and go figure out how he was doing?
That's what I want you to do, looking. Yes, Walter. You better fucking go do it.
But yeah, I think he's going to get some hype coming into draft season. Mainly Tim McCloud hyping him up.
Tim McCloud, you know he loves doing that.
Yeah, he and the Asian pitchers. I'm sure he'd love my team. Otani and Kikuchi.
Yeah.
But,
shout out.
But yeah, when you look at some of the pitchers that went around him, like, I mean, Jose Quintana went right before him. Sixto, I did like that pick. Marco Gonzalez, Alex Wood, who we talked about, Cole Hamels, John Duplantier, who
Ooh,
looks
I love
great,
him.
And Rick Porcello. It's like a lot of, like, yeah, they're okay, like solid guys. And I think Kikuchi, if he gets a little bit of hype, I could easily just flip him anyways. And
yeah,
based on my team, I mean, you know how I like to do dynasty anyway. So I'm not really going to contend this year. Try and build a ton of assets. And
yep. And you're not looking for arms really anyway. So I know that's how you like to work. No. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, I took Pearson just because I was like, well, this just seems
yeah,
too
it's
late.
Value. That's super value right there. Pearson, I mean, he doesn't really have any other pitches right now, but he can throw 104, and that's kind of crazy.
Did you want to talk about a guy I took, and I know you just traded for, Brandon Lau?
Yeah, I was actually trying to figure out exactly what I think he can do in a season, but I don't know. He kind of just, I don't know, not really burst onto the scene, but he kind of did. Like, he didn't really do anything crazy last year, but he did have 20, he had over 30 home runs, actually, almost. Yeah, over 30, no, 28 home runs last year, my bad. 28 home runs, 10 stolen bases last year. And I feel like that's kind of what he is. Like, he's a 25-10 sort of guy, you know, maybe gets up to 15, probably hits like 250, 260, like maybe like a Max Kepler sort of player. But he's probably going to have all sorts of different positional eligibility, because I feel like that's what the Rays are going to do next year, and just kind of utilize their infielders the best way that they can. And I think he can play shortstop, second base, outfield, and maybe even a little third base next year. He's going to be all over the place, and that could be really useful for fantasy, especially in a daily league like you're going to be in with this 30 team one.
Yeah. Mainly what I was looking at, I was like, yeah, he hit for power. And the other thing is, because it's an OBP league, he had a 10% walk rate at each step, AA, AAA, and the majors last year. So that's just like a major boost, even if the batting average is low like it was last year. He still had a 320 OBP, which is going to be very serviceable in a league this deep. And yeah, like you said, I think he's like a 20-25 home run, like 10 stolen base kind of guy. I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like Hampson. You're getting deals on these guys who were drafted late. You know what I mean? Like, Lau was drafted a little bit later. He's 24 years old now, but he's only been in the league 2 years, really. He played in 2016 a little bit, then 2017 and 2018. And he was a third-round pick, and he just didn't really flourish until last year. And sometimes those guys that have, like, an average body don't really grow into it until they're 23, 24. So now he's kind of at that prime age where he's going to be kicking into that power, and he showed that last year. And he even hit 6 home runs when he made it to the league. That was in 43 games. So that's pretty solid sample right there for him. And is that all you wanted to talk about? I love me some Brandon Lau. There's Brandon Lau, there's Nathaniel Lowe. All those guys over on Tampa could get it.
I haven't dug through all the teams, but looking at Darius Austin's team, his first three picks were Mike Trout, Charlie Blackmon, and Clayton Kershaw. Is that a solid first three players in a 30-team league?
That's pretty crazy for a 30-team league, yes. I would say that he's going for it now. Would you agree with that statement?
I would assume so.
Anyone? Yeah. He fell into the Trumbo trap. If you take Trumbo in a dynasty league, you're going for it. I've done that one too many times. It never ends up fun.
Mark Trumbo has never helped anyone win a league.
No. Nope. Neither has Cole Calhoun in a dynasty. Sorry. It's not going to happen.
But I think it's going to be a really fun league to kind of follow and see what happens, just because it's like teams turn over so much, and then sometimes you're going to look at it and be like, oh my God, how did they get this person in the 35th round? How did everybody just completely whiff on him?
Right.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love doing it. I love doing the draft and talking crap to people and making fun of picks.
Making fun of their picks.
Mainly Chuck.
We're not sneak. There's going to be no sneak dissing. We will call you out. You can have a polite discussion with us through GIF on Twitter if you would like. That's how this is going to go.
Team. Like that, I think everybody knows that you can make fun of my picks.
Yeah,
that's you. Well, have
your picks
full,
are trash sometimes. Like you took Byron Buxton.
Yeah, did you see what I put on Twitter? No analysis. I feel like, I can't even remember what I said. No analysis for this pick. I'm like disgusted with myself.
You honestly, I saw you took Byron Buxton and I was like, you're a joke. I don't know. you wanted to do another podcast and I saw that pick and I was like thinking about it.
I mean, I'm essentially a Twins fan now, though, because I have Luis Lewis, Byron Buxton, and Miguel Sano.
So. You know, I mean, I've always been a little bit soft at heart for the Twins, too, because that was my team, you know, the New Britain Rockhats growing up. That was the Twins farm back in the day. So I was, you know, watching Joe Mauer and Torrey Hunter and these guys when I was a kid. So I was always a little bit close to the Twins. So I'll join that with you. Hey, last year we were all on the Rays. Maybe this year we'll be all on the Twins. Everybody will be off calling us stupid and they'll win 90 games.
Well, the only problem is the Twins are, in fact, bad.
Right, yeah.
That's the only issue.
And they're not really actively trying to get better.
Yeah, it's crazy. Did you see any picks that stood out to you? Anything crazy? Anything that you liked?
I mean, there is just so many. Like, we would have to do a whole show.
Oh, I will say this. Nate Easley went in the 16th round, and I have no clue who that is.
There was a few. Like, who was I just saying? Like, how is this guy on a roster? Oh, Trevor May. Trevor May is on a roster right now, and I don't really know what to do with that.
Well, it is the save times two plus holds.
Oh, right.
Will get holds.
Oh, okay.
And he was really good last year.
Yeah, I suppose. It's I forgot. I didn't really remember that. That's my bad. Okay, yeah, so I guess that makes a little bit more sense, especially if I didn't really see his team. Maybe he needed. But then, okay, so that makes more of these picks make sense because I saw, like, Jose Leclerc, like, really high up there, but that makes a little bit more sense.
Well, Leclerc's a closer.
Yeah. No, I get it.
No, Leclerc went really high. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't usually take closers like that in Dynasty anyway, but I did, I took Corey Nable and I did flip those guys in our league pretty well. Flip those closers.
Yeah, your team is terrible though.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you don't pay attention for half the year.
Yeah, we got new owners in that league.
Oh,
yeah, we invited Colin Weatherwax and Randy Haynes.
Oh, what did Weatherwax say the other day? Where I wanted to call him out. I did call him out, but only to you.
I don't remember.
Damn it.
He says so many terrible things. I don't even know. I'm just kidding, Colin. No, I'm not kidding. But you're the best.
I'm gonna go look it up. Stall.
No, but yeah, there's just like there was a lot of. But yeah, like I said, Nate Easley, I have no clue who that is. Kyler Murray, he's kind of interesting. He went late. So a lot of the first year player draft guys are coming off the board now. So like I took Marco Luciano, Kyler Murray went off the board, Jordan Adams came off the board. I took Xavier Edwards earlier in the draft, and yeah, Nolan Gorman went pretty early. Actually, he didn't go really early. I wanted him there, but Matt Thompson.
Yeah, he loves Nolan Gorman.
Homer took Nolan Gorman before I could get him.
Yep.
Even though I really like Nolan Gorman, so.
Yeah, he's got some interesting guys. I like Christian Robinson too. He's a real.
Yeah, I like Robinson. I like Jimenez. He got Jake Lamb pretty cheap. He got Gorman. I don't really like Renfro that much.
Bradley's pretty cheap. I like Libertor.
Yeah, pitching prospect.
I don't care too much about Zimmerman. I feel like that's kind of a wasted pick, but it could work out.
Yeah. I mean, Zimmerman could be good again.
That's what I'm saying. Like he could pop off.
But yeah, there's a lot of good owners in the league, so it's going to be hard.
I found it, Walter. Thanks for stalling. Nola in redraft, Cole in dynasty was what he said. He was going to take Nola.
I don't really get that one redraft. Since Nola's younger, but
Cole in dynasty. But I guess age doesn't really mean everything for pitchers. Is that a thing?
I'm with that. I'm with that.
You're with that? You're with like...
Whoa, hold on. To a certain extent.
Right.
It's like once they're hitting that like 33, 34, then I'm a little worried. But if it's like 28 versus 25, I don't really care.
Yeah, that's what they are. So I guess upon reexamination, it's not as crazy as I thought. But I just thought it was funny, like, because that's what I immediately went to, is I was like, wait, isn't Nola like significantly younger than Gerrit Cole? But yeah, Gerrit Cole's not that old, I suppose. It's not like Verlander is where it gets questionable for me, because Verlander's just so good at like staying healthy and pitching every single day too. So it's like,
well, yeah, Scherzer too,
and Scherzer, and it's like, when do they break down? Like, it's not a Kershaw situation. It's like they just never run out of gas. I don't understand it.
Yeah, that's like, that's part of my whole problem this year. And the thing people aren't really realizing is that Verlander and Scherzer were like the exact same pitcher last year. Like, there's like a 20 strikeout difference, which, I mean, it seems like a lot, but when it's like 280 versus 300, it's really not that big of a difference. And then all the skills were like exactly the same.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't get why there's like a 2-round discount on Verlander compared to Scherzer.
Yeah, and so, there's, I mean, even in a dynasty league, there's no way I'm taking like Walker Buehler, Blake Snell over Scherzer right now either.
Well, I'm not taking any of those guys. In
you
general.
See, that's who went. They went. DeGrom, I maybe can see, but then Buehler, Snell, and Nola over Scherzer, even in a dynasty, like, I don't know. Give me 3 years of Scherzer over the next 5 years of those guys if they're still on your team at that point.
I don't know. I think I'd probably take the younger guys over Scherzer.
But what about Adalberto Mondesi?
I know you wanted to talk about him.
Yeah, why? Just why? It's too high. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Like, he could be great. But, I mean, Jonathan VR also had 60 stolen bases in a season. And I'm not even comparing him to VR. But, like, in order to get that season, you have to be unbelievably good at baseball or just dumb lucky. There's only two options. And I don't think Adalberto Mondesi is unbelievably good at baseball. I could be very wrong there, but I just don't think that is what it is. I think it's just more dumb lucky, and the Royals weren't anything, so they just told him to run on every single base opportunity. Like, every single time he touched the base, he ran.
Yeah, he ran like 40% of his stolen base opportunities or something crazy. It was like higher than Ricky Henderson's career number.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know what to do with Mondesi.
I wouldn't be drafting him.
I would not
36th overall in a dynasty league. That's all I'm saying. It's just way too high. I mean, I get in a redraft if you want to take a stab at him in like round 4, round 5, kind of like where people were taking Witt last year. But at the same time, like, they just have totally different profiles, and like Witt might not be able to steal the same amount of bases as him. But
he can hit.
He can hit a baseball. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a big problem for Mondesi right now, is actually hitting the baseball, which is not a good thing for a hitter. But, I mean, whatever. People love
weird.
Him. So, I mean, it's weird. It's weird, right? It's weird. It's really weird. You don't want to take a hitter that doesn't know how to hit. I guess that's weird nowadays. But anyway.
Oh, man. Oh, one last player. What do you think of George Valera? Did I take him too high?
No, I love George Valera. He's got one of the best swings out of any of those, like, young the past few international years have been really good, and we got Wander Franco and a lot of these guys, and Victor, everyone's talking about those guys right now. But Valera's a beast.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, eventually people are going to realize in dynasty leagues, just draft all the top international players.
Yeah, all the international hitters. Yeah,
literally,
seriously.
Just all of them. Just take all of them.
Valera is
very well.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely think of some names that are not on this draft board right now that I would have in my queue trying to get at. It's kind of cool. I kind of wish I did the league at this point, but daily league, no, it's too much. Way too much.
Yeah, you would forget about it for a week, and then you'd be in like 17th place, and then you'd sell all your players.
Yeah. Well, the problem with last year was I just took on all the writing, and then I took on 26 leagues as well, and that was just not a good combination.
I can see where the problem came in there, yeah, that's usually not a good combo.
No. But you know what? We made it work, and we got 1,000 followers on Twitter in a summer, and I'm really happy about that. So,
you mean you got 1,000 followers?
What did I say? I'm sorry, Walter. I forget you fail out there.
I don't even know. Oh, well, actually, you write. That's the reason. People actually know who you are. That's the reason.
Yeah, but according to you, people think I disappeared and fell off the face of the earth. So I don't know. At the same time.
You did.
I didn't, though. I'm here.
You did. We thought you got abducted.
You can't
by Paul
fall
Marsh.
Off the face of the earth. It's round, Walter. I've learned. I've been at rehab. I've been at flat earth rehab. That's where I've been this whole time.
Oh, man. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, my sponsor is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No, I didn't get that one. Sorry.
What? Why? How do you not get that one? I said I was at rehab for Flat Earth Society. And my sponsor... You know how you have rehab sponsors?
Yeah.
Was Neil deGrasse... All right, whatever. You don't get that. It's interesting. No,
I don't get out much.
Okay, good excuse. Solid excuse. On that note, let's just end now, because that was just so disappointing that I don't even want to talk to you anymore. I'd rather watch Scott Van Pelt ruin the rest of my night.
Oh, he will.
Yeah, he definitely will. I can't wait for his out-of-date... No, people really love him, though, so let me stop.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched SportsCenter in forever.
Me neither. I'm actually just going to go play a whole bunch of Red Dead Redemption until I just fall asleep riding my horse.
Is it good?
It's amazing.
Is that one good?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten it. I played and beat the first one. When did that come out? Like 8 years ago now?
Well, the first one was for like PS2.
No.
Yeah, but the Red
it
Dead...
It was on Xbox
Red Dead,
60.
Well, there was Red Dead Revolver... And then there was Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
And yeah, Red Dead Redemption was probably like 7 or 8 years ago. Because they do Red Dead and then they do GTA. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they switch back and forth. But Red Dead
I got so tired of Grand Theft Auto.
I have tuberculosis in the game right now. So I'm really trying to work my way through that. I'm robbing trains with tuberculosis.
It sounds like they made it a lot more realistic.
Oh, it's unbelievably realistic.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy that. I'm going to get it eventually, but you know, two kids, not much time to play video games anymore.
Yeah. That's a game that you definitely want to like invest some time in. So maybe like over the winter or something, but yeah, you should carve out a little bit. Send your fiance on a nice vacation and just knock it out in a week.
Yeah,
be good.
Send her on a vacation with both the kids. I'm sure that'll work.
No, send her on a vacation, put the kids in a kennel.
Oh my God. All right. Well, on that note, don't follow us on Twitter because of that.
Follow me. Just don't DM me for like, I'm not on care.com or anything. Like you don't have to, I'm not taking care of anyone's kids. I'm just an awful person.
Yeah, but you're just like a danger to society.
I'm not a danger. I'm not going around picking up kids and putting them in kennels. I'm just saying if you need to store your kids somewhere for a week, you put them in a kennel.
Right.
Right. Right. You agree?
No. I mean, I wish it was that easy, but no.
Well, if only you had some balls, Walter.
All right. Well, that was fun.
It was fun. I'm happy we're back, Walter. I guess we'll be back probably next week. We're going to try to do every Monday at this point. We record on Monday. It'll probably come out on Tuesday, but it'll be around that range. I work at night. Walter works during the day, so sometimes it's kind of hard to come together. But we're back, and we're trying to podcast for you as often as possible. So go follow Walter out on Twitter, at RealFakeWalter. He doesn't write, so he needs more of your follows than me. If anything, just go follow him, and then if you have time, at Paul the Martin is where I'm at, and you can find me there as well. So thanks for listening if you made it all the way this far, and next week hopefully same time, same day, maybe not, but who knows. All right,
see you in a month.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll see you at Christmas at the winter meetings. Okay. See you.